Wonderful day outside. That's why we opened the blinds. I guess for those online, we're still getting set up here, and we'll be underway in maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah. So very good morning, everyone. I know we are at the top of the hour, and I would just like to welcome everyone for the new and uninitiated to the concept of an APEC space. Basically, we wanted to make sure that there was a dedicated session for the Asia-Pacific community, or the community that has involvement with Asia-Pacific issues, to just have a platform at ICANN meetings to meet and discuss. My name is Quek. I am the A portion of the AP region for staff. My partner, who is from the P session, for the P region, is stuck in another session. He'll be here in another 30 minutes. But maybe I can just kick off with a few housekeeping issues. The first one is that we had some thinking about the mailing lists. The first time this mailing list was created was when we had the first APEC session, and we just passed a sheet of paper around. We didn't want people to get spammed. And on this list, you actually get to participate and decide what you want to put on the agenda. There is a separate APEC list, which we use as a way of telling people that this session exists. We, again, didn't want people to spam, because if there's traffic on the mailing list, obviously, you know, you will get a lot more emails than just the regular APEC mailing list. My suggestion moving forward, because I was talking to some of the people here, they have gotten the invitation, but they were not able to participate in the agenda setting. So my suggestion is that moving forward, we will blast out the time and space, but at the same time, invite people to join the TLD_discuss mailing list, so that it's an opt-in option. If you want to be involved in the agenda setting, you can. And if you don't want to, you can choose to just be informed when it is, as opposed to get all that mail volume. So this is my first suggestion in terms of housekeeping issues. The second housekeeping issue is that I know that this is, there are a lot of conflicts at this time, but trust me, over the past few meetings we've had, we've tried 7 a.m. meetings so that there are no conflicts. We've tried various combinations so that there are no conflicts. It's getting harder and harder at ICANN meetings to find clean slot that doesn't have conflict. I think in Buenos Aires as well, we had a clash with contractual compliance. I think at that point of time, it was with registrar. We'll keep trying. And also, we have to, I asked this group to think about when we move to the new meeting strategy, when we have the A, B, and C meetings, when the timing is going to be a little bit different, to think about how we want to structure this. It could well be because the new C meeting is going to be 8 days or something like that, and it is going to be a good part of it is going to be in the Asia region, that maybe we do the APEC space session for the A and C meetings, but not the B meeting, for example. So that's only going to start next year. And maybe people can have the opt-in option for the TLD_discuss mailing list, and people can discuss this in for that. So that's another housekeeping issue. I only had these two. Before I went on, I just wanted to acknowledge the team also, because, you know, there's always going to be restrictions on travel funding for staff. So while you often see me, there's actually a big team in Singapore and also in the rest of Asia who was very helpful in setting all of this up, but are not here physically. I just wanted to thank them before we started the session. Asha, I didn't know if you wanted to add anything. If not, I'll be...
Sure, I'll just say
okay,
two words.
Sure.
So thank you. Thank you, Quek. My name is Asha Hemrajani, and I'm on the ICANN board. I'm one of the four on the board who are from the Asia-Pacific region, one, two, three, five, pardon me, five on the board who are from the Asia-Pacific region. So I just wanted to say this is my third APAC space session that I'm attending. I've always found it very useful. And I want to thank Pam for reminding me about it yesterday. And so one suggestion, quick, is in order to get more people, is to get Pam to use her handcuffs, which is what she did, and drag people here. And I think it is effective, and we have to. There is a way. One way we can. Jokes aside, it is one way we can consider expanding the number of people here. Hello, Kun Wanawit.
That I'll invite Edmund maybe to run us through the agenda.
Thank you, Quek, and thank you, Asha. So. Just building on what Quek said, I think that's a very good idea, and please do opt in because it's the point. The mail is very light, so don't worry about too much. And we need a lot more discussion, which is one of the first main topic for today. So basically, in the last couple of times, we have been trying to organize this by setting up the agenda over the mailing list and then having a substantive discussion during the meeting at ICANN meetings. I think adding to what Quek just mentioned, a very important part of this is that we're not really bound to talk about market or policies, but this is a space where it allows the Asia-Pacific community to actually come together and talk about a cross-section of that. Because, you know, looking at today's agenda, we actually identify three main topics. One, which Pam and Jen will talk off, is expanding the diversity of participation, in, specifically in GNSO, and this is one of the follow-up items from Buenos Aires. And then we hope the number two item is talk about the updates on the China regulations. I think last also from BA, there was a very lively discussion there, but also talk not only the policy, but also the market implications on that. And then thirdly, we have Don here, and I, of course, myself, that will talk a little bit about the universal acceptance of TLDs, but especially on IDNs, I guess, for the Asia-Pacific region. Those are the three identified. I originally had a fourth, which Leonid was going to lead, which is about CCTLD market in Asia-Pacific. Unfortunately, Leonid is on a flight right now, so join us until the Wi-Fi is good enough in flights. Should happen soon, I don't hope. and with that, those are the three main items. We have, I guess, roughly 20 to 30 minutes for each, getting the time allocation. Any other business that people want to raise? Because it's the open forum, actually. Don?
So Don Hollander here. And for years, I'm quite aware of the AP Star community. I also note that the P part of the APR is often not here. And just in terms of creative, one possibility for structuring it, build a part of the meeting that is structured with and people keyed up to talk, then have the second half or unconference and just build on the day, which might be very useful towards the end or towards the beginning, because you can think about what's happened during the week. And I'm seeing a growing number of unconference and very interesting. The second thing is just make sure that the APAC gathering is scheduled at a time friendly. This is 10 o'clock at night in New Zealand, which time, but just as you work. And just somebody, you know, as you're trying to reach out to the whole community, just don't forget bring in the part, and we had the Deputy Prime Minister Tonga here, and it might have been useful. I know he met with Pata yesterday. It's useful leveraging those rare occurrences, though he will also be in Marrakesh.
Don, this is Edmund speaking, by the way. Sorry I didn't introduce myself. Edmund Chung from Dot Asia. And thank you. And for those listening online, so thank you, Don, for the suggestions. I think that in scheduling is already very hard, and we will still try to add that, which is, I think, relevant because remote participation is a pretty important part of ICANN.
But we were mindful, which is why we blocked out all the afternoon slots, because it's impossible for remote participation. So depending on where the meetings shift, we do make sure that people can dial in remote in a sensible time.
Record one week. I'm the vice chair of the GAC. Sorry, I have to run within 10 minutes. The GAC will commend the session, but I just to address the USSG teams for meeting first time with the GACs, and we appreciate. And this will be the first time that the USSG works will be commences in the GAC advice. We need to raise the concerns among the government to support. That. I think that a very good move of US, and there's a lot of works and I'd like to raise up the issues. One issue is that how could we coordinate among the CLD and the GACs? And there are so many issues like LGR run by GNSOs and then USAG. I think getting lost somewhere, anyhow, for sure. And around in Marrakesh, we try to be more on what exactly you want the GAC to make and why it's in more detail. I think to push this far is already very difficult, as you say, to recognize the works. And if you read engineering-wise, you might say, oh, we miss a lot of things. But you cannot put the terms that don't know, like long strings and RIS or whatever. We try to tackle the proper policy in a common sense way. But most important thing for USG and us, that it's been adopted in the communication chapters. And I think that is the first move we can make.
Thank you, Wanawit, and that's a very encouraging information. And I look forward to the GAC advice that should come out later today, right? And I think this is the third topic, and we'll definitely go back to it. And it seems like I just want to respond quickly, because IDN obviously is one of my passions. And it's probably a good idea. I think the UASG and the LGR team and all the IDN issues needs to really have better interconnection when we go and present and explain the issue in a form that is easy to digest. I think that's a very good observation and suggestion. So with that, I like the unconference idea. I guess if we don't have any topics, we can end early, right? That's part of the idea. But I guess for today, if no further addition on the agenda bashing, I'll hand it over to Pam and Jen to tackle on the first topic item, which is expanding diversity of participation in GNSO in the Asia-Pacific region. So should I leave it to Pat? Please.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I just want to give you a very quick update on this topic since we met in Argentina last time. As we agreed, we quickly convened a very small drafting team to submit the public comment on the GNSO review draft report, as you can see now projected on the screen. So I hope you have had a chance to read the comment, but if not, I just want to see if Zhong can help me scroll down to the page that got the graph about the disparity between internet users and the GNSO participation at the moment within ICANN. So this is what you can see here. I think the picture is worth more than 1,000 words. So this is the situation. And because the GNSO review report actually made 30-odd recommendations, and we felt because of the short time we didn't have time to comment on all those recommendations. So our focus on our comment was about diversity, how to improve diversity within the GNSO and ICANN participation. So we also understand the difficulty in implementing all those recommendations in the draft report. So we actually totally support the idea of prioritization. So just give everyone update on the GNSO review timeline. According to the session on the weekend, this is my understanding. The Westlake, which is the independent examiner or consulting firm that prepared this report, has finalized and published the report in September. And now the working party is actually now in the process of reviewing in the process of kind of putting that final input together on the feasibility and implementation of those recommendations. And so that's October, November happening, and then February next year, the Organizational Effective Committee of Board will consider the feasibility assessment and then makes recommendation to the board. So it's probably won't make to the board for action until March 2016. So this is a timeline. However, in the meantime, we thought today we would just, while we're waiting for these formal actions from ICANN and the whole review team process, we can also help ourselves as what practical things we can do to actually encourage participation, increase participation, to really achieve diversity goal within the GNSO. So on that, I think John has a number of good suggestions during the drafting process when we were drafting the public comment. So he would like to share those with you. With us, and then also seek input from everybody here. Okay, on that, with that, I'll hand it over to Jiang. Thank you.
I'm Jiang Chang from KNET. Going back to, I think it's July, thanks, Pam, for leading a discussion. Some colleagues from this region have been actively participating in drafting this proposal, including Pat, Edmund, Yaling, and me. I think at that time we have framed some of high-level or general principle on how to improve the diversity or involvement. So several months have passed, and we think at this time we want to just propose some very specific or concrete action item that can be done very quickly to improve the involvement and diversity. So basically I have four ideas, and we have four ideas. Number one, we just think about maybe GNSO in the future can provide some travel support for the participants from the underserved region, right? Because we know some small registrar and small registry, limited by the budgeting, they don't have much resource go around the world to take part in the ICANN. Some kind of travel support will be very helpful. Second one is that we noted that in many ICANN meetings, there are like a transcript, you know, connecting Adobe connecting rule, but seems to me that GNSO they don't provide a transcript. Be careful that I'm not talking about translation. I'm not talking about translating English into five or few languages. I just say maybe GNSO's meeting can provide the transcript there. So I think many foreigner using English as a second language, they can just catch up more easily than just sitting there to listen in the conversation. The third one is that since we noticed that many small registry or registrar, for many reasons, they cannot participate in the ICANN or GNSO meeting personally, maybe the secretary of GNSO can reach out to the local stakeholder by emails. Those emails can give in summary or any important notice or any motions or decisions made recently to let them know what is happening or what will happen in the near future. I think remote participation and the email reaching out is an alternative to the personal participation. Number four, as the last one, is I think when we're talking about the diversity, I think many factors are related to the concept of diversity. For example, geographic diversity, cultural diversity, and your language diversity, or even gender diversity. So when we're talking about diversity, we think maybe we can develop a scorecard to say there are four or five factors related to diversity. So we attribute some score into each factor, and to get a final score or result to measure the diversity. So I think basically we generally agree that we should increase the diversity, but to implement the diversity principle is still in deep. So we just wonder maybe very concretely we can first develop like a scorecard or anything like that to measure diversity, and we can just input some factor first. Basically, that are our four very, very concrete or even trivial suggestions for GNSO consideration. Thank you.
Yeah. Pam, you want to add something? I guess it seems like very, very good starting point. These are four very concrete suggestions. I see Mary here, which could help us on some of this. So maybe I'll suggest let's take them one by one and see if there's any feedback and thoughts. Just quickly, one is travel support to Asia-Pacific participants. Second is transcript for GNSO meetings to be made available. Third one, I actually didn't quite understand. GNSO secretariat to reach out.
Can reach out by emails. Emails to the stakeholder, to the participants. They cannot come in person.
Okay, we'll come back to clarify that. And number four is some measurement and indices too, so that we can move forward, a scorecard kind of idea. So first one, travel support, always interesting. We have unlimited budget at ICANN, of course. Mary.
Hello, everybody. This is Mary Wong from ICANN staff, and I'm a member of the policy team, primarily supporting GNSO. Perhaps most relevant for this audience, I'm from Singapore. So it's good to see everybody. So this is more of a point of information, and I want to also defer to Quek and his team, because there's been an increasingly close collaboration between the GSE team and the policy team to work on participation issues. And I think most of you would know something about that, so I don't want to repeat that, but on the specific travel support point, I think one of the things that folks may not know, except those who are more experienced, is that travel support is provided by ICANN, and including to the GNSO and all the other supporting organizations and advisory committees. For the GNSO, how this is done is through the stakeholder groups and constituencies. They all get a particular set of slots for travel. And, of course, one of the features of the multi-stakeholder model is that then each group decides how and who to fund. So I agree that this is a really important point. I think many of those I've worked with know that it's one of many of our personal missions to enhance the diversity of patients from our region. So maybe this is something that we can take back and certainly convey to the stakeholder groups and constituencies that one important feature that they should be considering, obviously, is diversity and geographical representation, to the extent that maybe some do better than others. But it is a decision for each stakeholder group and constituency. So again, a point of information. Then the other point I wanted to make also is, and I know Quek and his team have heard me say this 10,000 times, that it is very important and useful to come to an ICANN meeting, but participation in the GNSO through the working groups, I know Pam and others have talked about this a little bit, is ongoing, and it is a little bit draining on volunteer resources, which is a separate point. But so what you were saying earlier about remote participation, time zones, etc., are things that we are working on as part of the GNSO review implementation, actually, to try to enhance the policy development role of the Asia-Pacific participants, because that's really where the work happens, between the ICANN meetings, at working group meetings, which are conducted, as you know, online and by the phone. So hopefully that's helpful.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Asha.
Thank you, Edmund, and thank you, Mary, for those words. I want to echo what you said, the second part of what you said, which is the work of ICANN mostly takes place between meetings. Between meetings. We have very low attendance. These are stats for GNSO. I have seen stats, for example, from the Asia-Pacific in the ICG, and then the same group will be doing statistics on Asia-Pacific participation in the CCWG. Zero Asian participation amongst the members, which is not good. So while travel support is great, and I'm not going to discourage that, as a member of the board finance committee, I have to tell you we don't have unlimited money. But that's a separate point. The point I want to make here is would love to see more participation offline. Online participation, rather, as opposed to in person, in addition to in person. So participation in the RSAC and the SAC caucuses, participation in the CCWG working, any sort of working groups, those areas have to be improved, in terms of Asia-Pacific inputs. So thank you.
Yeah, Asha, and I think in this particular context, we're not only talking about the GNSO Council, we're talking about GNSO work. So it does include the working groups. Obviously there's not unlimited budget. And the other thing that I think is very important for this community to understand is that there's a very strong culture, or which I have to say somewhat agree to. Is that often when we talk about the work and the selection of the stakeholder group and constituencies and helping people to travel funding and those kind of things, often the saying is, you know, it's a balance between the best person, the best man to do the work, and, you know, the one who needed it most. It's a very strange balance, especially when you talk about the counselors or certain working group chairs or other stakeholder groups or constituencies where the funding is being applied. But that brings me to a situation. In fact, what we want to think about is there are various different constituencies and stakeholder groups, of course, within GNSO. Do we try to coordinate and try to capture, a bad word, but try to get the funding for the right right people that we want to support. But more importantly, who, like you know, there are billions of people in Asia Pacific. The question is identifying the people that should go for support. And I, you know, in the AOB, I'd like to add this as maybe number five. You know, how do we train up people to participate? For that, there's also another section, which is the fellowship program that ICANN provides. So, you know, in terms of travel support, there's of course the stakeholder groups and constituencies, but also the fellowship that we might want to take a look at. And Asia Pacific community thinks that we need a coordinated strategy in some sort. I would tend to think that, you know, ICANN probably would welcome, like, if we have additional information that says, hey, these are the people that are actively participating, so when you consider fellowship, when you consider the others, maybe you should take that into account. That might actually help add into it. And I see Don's hand up. Is that okay? Don, please.
Thank you very much, Edmund. With respect to the training and fellowship, in terms of training people for participation in the ICANN community, I can bring, I think, some experience in the Pacific at the beginning of this century in Geneva, and you had the WISIS in India. And so the end of last century, the beginning of this century, there was a strong push, at least within the Pacific Island communities, for getting people up to speed on internet issues, technology issues, governance issues, management issues, usage issues, ability to prepare issues. And there was a lot of training programs that were happening within communities and among communities in the Pacific. And one of the areas that seemed to have been the most successful and the most beneficial from what I've heard from the participants was the Diplo training in internet. And as I look around the ICANN community from Pacific today, there's quite a number of people who are active in the ICANN community, who have been through that Diplo training, whether they're active physically at the ICANN meetings or active in ongoing activities offline. So I don't know how popular the Diplo training was Asia, part of Asia Pacific, but it was very popular and very useful within the Pacific part of that would be an area that to pursue. I know that RIGF has training from time to time, and that there's been some summer school events, and that's my comment on the training. I could just also, from what I heard at the beginning, I heard that there was an interest in focus on small registries and registrars. I heard that as an item before the travel support, and I'd be happy to hear more about that, see if there's opportunities that the Asia-Pacific region can work with other regions in supporting small registries, both CCs and small Gs. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add to what Don just said about small registries and registrar participation. I think there is a mindset or misperception about registry stakeholder group and registrar stakeholder group representation of all the registries and registrars. I think the fact is many registrars in the Asia-Pacific region are not member of the registrar stakeholder group. So ICANN staff, when you kind of have policy update or important information, do not assume, so long as you send that communication to registrar stakeholder group or their mailing list, other registrars in the region will get that because they are not on the registrar stakeholder group's mailing list. They won't get that information. And I think that's very important because you need to make sure all registrars are having the same access to that information, especially if it's a critical one or important one. So in terms of outreach, I think the stakeholder groups and constituencies also need to do their bit. I mean, have you guys had anyone from the registry stakeholder group chair or vice chair or the officer or registrar stakeholder groups ever reach out to you, say, hey, do you want to join the registrar stakeholder group? Do you want to join the registry? Registry might be doing probably a better job than registrar, but I think the registrars in particular is a stakeholder group is very under-participated or represented from the Asia-Pacific region.
Very quick response to both Pam and Don's comments. So, Don, I think you're spot on when it comes to low. I have met with the director of Diplo in Singapore a couple of months ago, and I told him exactly the same thing. Why aren't your courses more popular here? And he's like, okay, something to think about. So I hope he does something with that because I really couldn't agree with you more. And I also agreed with your second point, so no further discussion there. And Pam, I could not agree with you more. I think, you know, this is really not only a board or a staff issue. It has to be belonging to the SOs and ACs. They have to take the lead in increasing their own diversity. And there is a huge amount of inertia and reluctance to do so. But they need a friendly push from us. So what I've done is for the IPC constituency, IP lawyers, I promised them I would introduce them to at least 5 to 10 Asia-Pacific IP lawyers by this week. Need your help on Harry because I know you and I have mutual friends in that group. And thank you for bringing up the registry and registrar. So whoever we know, if we can either introduce them to the head of the registry or registrar group, or I like your idea very much, which is when you send stuff out, don't just send it to the mailing list because that mailing list does not have a lot of members. We should include those people who are not members.
Very good points. And then we can maybe elect a chair, right? So, yeah, GNSO. With that, I guess it seems like there may be a follow-up item on this in terms of the mailing list. Perhaps we can utilize the APAC mailing list, both to discuss and or have a sublist that. Because I'm not sure whether the reason is because of the fees that need to be paid. They don't want to go through the process of becoming membership. But maybe what this group can do is proactively reach out to them and get them on a list first so that it's, you know, easy for that information to then get disseminated.
If this point is about sending out information to accredited registrars in the region. I'm looking for Howard, but I think he's stuck probably on the contractual compliance side. My understanding is that he has a mailing list database that is the entire one and not just the registrar stakeholder group one. If you guys see any gaps in our communications, let us know. If there are gaps in our communications, we definitely want to address
that. So, Edmund here. I guess the perhaps the gap that is identified is that there are certain policy stuff that goes on that wouldn't go through that channel because that would be more of an operational or even compliance or those type of channels. What we need to have is the policy discussion side when policy starts being discussed. That might be something I think that's a good place to start, but it might give a different connotation. Might the policy is already set by that time where it goes to Howard's list, perhaps.
Yeah, just this is a small comment. I think what we struggle with some of the smaller registrars is that, to be very honest, they're running a business. They just don't have the resources to... It's something we'll think of how we can help them, you know. It's almost like an evolution. You start off by just getting your business off the ground, and then, you know, you manage your cash flow, and then you become bigger, then you get involved in policy-making side. It's a struggle we have. We'll try to... I don't have any good answers to how to bring on the smaller guys now, but it's something we're thinking about.
Don, we're running short on time, so quick intervention.
So thanks. Quick, I think you actually have a good process in place. You run regular newsletters, you run regular webinars. So I think you're doing a lot of the stuff you have to do to get the stuff, to get it out there. And the next challenge is how to read it. So offer prizes. put a secret phrase in the newsletter, and if they find it, then there's some chocolate. But I think you're doing...
Are you sponsoring the prize?
I have chocolate in my bag. But I think you are doing some work, and I don't undervalue that at all. It's just keep that out and just get people to read it.
Don, we still have a few items. We will probably need to take it to the list, but I did want to cover the second one, which I see Mary here, because I actually didn't know that there wasn't the transcript for the GNSO meeting.
Never see the transcript.
And I just looked at it, and actually, that's true. So the working, the working sessions, especially Saturday and Sunday, does not have transcript. The council meeting obviously has, which is there. Is that a possibility? Has there been?
And this is something that we've been aware of in the GNSO, and it's true. I want to echo Asha's words. True for SOs and ACs other than a GNSO as well. But obviously, I think a lot of people are interested in GTLD policy, so working on the GNSO. It's an ICANN-wide issue. It's not specific to the GNSO. So on the staff side, we've been working with our colleagues to try to see how within the budget and the resources we can try to provide the facilities where we can. There is an ICANN translation policy that we all abide by, and from time to time people have pointed out deficiencies about that. And of course, you know, a related discussion, which isn't the point you want to make now, is that the working language is English. So there, and so to the extent that the ICANN translation policy...
I just want to stop you there because of time. We were not talking about translation at all.
Oh, I see. You're talking about
the transcript.
All the transcripts... I'm sorry. So at the ICANN public meetings, of course, everything is transcribed, including the GNSO weekend sessions. They're just...
It's not posted.
They're not posted until they are uploaded, which I... they have to be uploaded because they do have to be processed. So this is a question of the time it takes as opposed to it not being done, if it makes sense. So the point that I also want to make is that the regular GNSO meetings are also transcribed. All the working group meetings are also transcribed and recorded. And they are uploaded all to the GNSO website as well.
Yes, that's my understanding. That's why I'm surprised to find that the Buenos Aires one and the Singapore one actually hasn't been posted. And that's what I think that's probably...
We haven't, okay. I apologize. I will take that back and rectify it as quickly as I can.
Should address that particular issue. In fact, it's probably oftentimes that it's you probably a little nudge. There's tons of sessions happening, and you know some errors there. So number three was one part that I didn't quite understand. You suggested I think we'll spend another just 2 minutes on this, and then we'll move to. But can you clarify a little bit what you are suggesting in terms of secretariat reach out that you see is would be effective, and what types of, how do we start the measurement and scorecard?
Yeah, I think we have touched a little bit around the earlier question. What I mean that I have take part in some training program that Howard Lee has been held in the Asia Pacific region. I watch that many local registrar are very actively in, right? But obviously they don't have much money or budget to come into an ICANN meeting. So my suggestion is just quite simple, that be many stakeholder group or constituency in GNSO. We don't just passively waiting for the reaching out to ask question. Maybe secretary in a stakeholder group or constituency can reach those stakeholders that are not available to come into to say whether you have any question, or we just provide a summary to those unavailable stakeholders to let them know what has happened, what is happening, or what will happen in the future. Basically, that's my suggestion.
Maybe I can. Yeah, if we did, like, say, I came in and out of this. If you're saying that you are hoping that the GNSO will come up with a readout of where the policy discussion is so far, is that what you're saying? Sorry.
I think maybe summary, a summary policy development or your operational strategy or anything that those unavailable stakeholders are
interested. When you say unavailable, you mean the people who should know but haven't joined the meetings?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's right, yeah.
Okay. I think we already have a summary. If you're looking for us to do a face-to-face session within the region or even have a webinar in the region, that is something that is definitely doable and we definitely do it. I think maybe some people are traveling to the region during the Chinese New Year period, so maybe before the Chinese New Year period, we can even do a webinar based out of the region, maybe just... Yes, I'm looking at you. I have knowledge. There's knowledge I'm privy to, but maybe I'm not. But yeah.
And that's very true. So I'd be happy. We're already working closely, as I mentioned, both of our teams. But just to add on to this, and I think this goes to Don's point earlier as well, is the reaching out to because the material actually is there. There's for every ICANN meeting, for example, the GNSO has a set of background briefings. Every month, we provide one-page updates to the GAC that's publicized to everybody. And, of course, you know, we have policy update newsletters that Quek and his team send out. So I think it's a question of connecting the materials with the method and who. But obviously, anything that we can do, and this has been very helpful, we will follow up.
I would add that I am happy to almost do like an open house kind of thing. I know that if we give you a stack of materials in a newsletter, maybe people are very reluctant to click it open and go through it. If and you know, webinars don't have that level of interaction. When we built up the new Singapore office, we did cater for convertible space where people could meet and gather, and it could take up to, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40. If there is an appetite for people to come for a face-to-face meeting, we will do that. The expectations that I would have to set is that I have no travel funding for that. But I can offer you FaceTime with staff, an opportunity to interact with each other. Canned throwing catering for maybe a lunch, but I mean we don't want to go through the whole session and then, you know, we have seven people coming or that kind of thing. Or if Singapore is not a good place, if there's somewhere else, maybe Hong Kong or China, and we have a partner that to provide the space, you know, it's something we can do. We're open.
We are running out of time. I'm hoping to cut this off very short.
Yeah, sorry, Stuart from .au. I think there is a limit to how much you try and engage with people. So at some point, maybe we should just acknowledge that maybe not everybody wants to be involved. So I think you've been very open. There are many opportunities and become part of the dialogue. But at some point, we just have to say maybe she's not that into you.
No, that's fair point. I don't think we're at that point yet, though. And I think just summarizing from where we are, not really summarizing, being an action item, I think we still need to refine this a little bit. And taking Asha's suggestion to handcuff somebody, can we try to handcuff Mary to maybe at least join the list and perhaps between now and Marrakesh, we can try to work on a refinement of these ideas. Is that thing Pam and John are willing to?
For that.
I see nodding heads, so that's an item. With that, Because really, a lot of things might have been, as Mary said, I want to add this, they might be already there. We just need to stitch it together and then refine those that are not there and find those gaps. So with that next item, I'll hand it over to Simon. Well, there's a big discussion about the designer. Oh, sorry. Just one.
Sorry, this is Pitina for the record. So you still have the last one with the measurements of the diversity, right? I just want to have a... as far as I understand, in ICANN we don't really have the single version of the regions. Are you going to separate the regions by RAR or by UN region? It doesn't seem like a problem if you're not really having to... When you go into the process of considering something like if you want to grant the support or... For example, in the GAC, when we elect the vice chair, we have to say 5 diversity from the regions. We don't really know what is the regions we are talking about. And when you say that, you didn't see the CCWG and all that, it's actually we have quite an active brand, and he actually representing Asia Pacific. So I think this kind of thing is... Yeah, so probably it will be easier and less time-consuming if we have one definitions, and then everybody on the same page.
Yeah. Pam wants to go in, and please, this is the last part I'm trying to. Yeah. I'm doing a very bad job.
Sorry, just very quickly. I think ICANN has its own designation, just slightly different to the other, yeah, the UN designation. And there was a working group on reviewing the designation. I believe the report is going to the board in the next few days, and that working group has been like back in 2009, but there was no action item or action taken on that. So yes, it's a good point. But I just want to add one thing. In the GNSO review report, there was one important message. Geographic diversity is not proxy for cultural diversity.
That's right.
Okay? So it just kind of tie into, is that Stuart's point? Maybe they don't want to be engaged. They are real barriers, so please don't ignore them. Thank you.
Okay. This will be moved on to the list. Please, we should have a sign-up sheet. I apologize. If help me during this time, I am trying to look around. Nobody can. But anyway, oh, thank you, Quick. But with that, please, I'll hand it over to Simon immediately. For the next topic, please keep the presentation relatively short, so we have some time. We still have one more topic I want to cover, but that probably can be covered within about 10 minutes. So we still have about 20-25 minutes for this.
And let's do want to turn this topic to conversation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Simon Cousins. I may base to many of you. I don't normally show my face in policy forums. I'm the CEO and one of the founders of a public relations and market entry firm called Allegra Vita. We were established in Beijing 13 years ago, and we've been had 13 consecutive, currently represent more than 10 new GTLD registries in the China region, including several portfolio players. So all up, I believe we have more than 40 TLDs, which we're currently assisting in market entry for China. There has recently been considerable Sturm und Drang and debate around the question as to RCEP is necessary for foreign, that is non-Chinese, registries, whether they be new GTLD, CCTLD or legacy, to comply with China's recent enforcement of its three. One of us in the room are very, very familiar with the regulations, so we won't be touching on those. As we communicate on a daily basis with a very diverse range of registries, including some quite substantial sized registries, there seems to be a commonality of opinion on this topic. So rather than drive the debate in any particular direction, we've attempted to synthesize the opinions of many of our registry clients. And a colleague who runs our Beijing-based team, and Raymond Lee is also one of my co-founders and CTO of the our business, has assembled these comments into a single PowerPoint. So I'll hand over now to Raymond Lee. Tada Jinwen de Mingze Shi Li Ray.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Adam. So I'm here, as Simon said, we are here just to share some, you know, the insights we are observing in the China's market. So the policy and the market implications. And I believe in the last ICANN meeting, the panel, the Jian Chuan has already, you know, informed us with the Chinese regulations, and it's pretty clear. So we are not going to say anything about that. So that's about this.
I'm not sure if those slides are reflecting.
Sorry. And please go back to that. I'm Raymond, as Simon says, I'm Raymond Lee, and my slides is a lot of work with Kurt Price. So thank you. And with CDIS friends, Jin Chuan has provided some valuable advice. So thank you, Jin Chuan. And next slide, please. Okay. So we are here to just provide some talking points for everybody, to on the current environment and the recent developments of these asset situations. Next slide, please. So maybe many of you already know that ICANN recent GDD summit in Los Angeles. So ICANN staff publicly indicated that connecting through the China gateway requires the submission of an ASAP. Before that GDD submit .xyz registry submit a new ASAP to the ICANN. So ask the ICANN if they need an ASAP process. And next slide, please. Yeah, as you can see, all the record is on public. So ICANN replied 2 weeks after then with a letter. So says in case. Next slide, please. So ICANN says it's okay on the competition issues, but on the ASAP, there is ICANN consider there is security and stability issues. So they may require an R-step for the XYZ registry. So next slide, please. And after a few days with the ICANN reply, XYZ registry withdrawn the first RCEP request and make a new one just a few days before this ICANN meeting. And the deal says they want an ASAP with the integration in the Chinese gateway. So next slide, please. And in addition to connecting to the Chinese gateway, and this time XYZ added a few comments about additional information about this new ASAP. So I will not read it. So you can just see that. And the next slide, please. So actually, as Simon says, we representing a lot of registry clients into China. So as far as the regulation, as the MIIT approval process, that's a clear path. No problem with that. So our registry clients do concerns about this ASAP process. So here's our thoughts about this. So we think ICANN should state that an ASAP is not required for registries simply complying the local China laws and integrate with this China gateway, and China ICANN or registry operation community like APAC or DNA or RYSG or other industry group should publish a practical set of guidelines with a minimal number of requirements for engaging this with China's gateway and to comply with the local laws. And next slide, please. So why would we to do that recommendations? So here's why. And next slide, please. The rationale of the recommendation is this. First of all, the registry is providing no new services. They are providing just the services, you know, they are providing to all globally. So the China Gateway process is just part of the provision of domain name and registration services. Second of all, no change is required to the RA. So the third, registrars and registrars are already required to comply with local laws, whether it's China or Russia or any other country. You know, this is the basic requirement for the business operation in any country. So the current China Gateway providers are existing, you know, the qualified DNS provider, DNS service providers. So we no problem with that too. And for the stability and security issues that I can reply for the first ASAP, we think there is no fundamental difference between the China Gateway and the current already in, you know, always working for many years, the, you know, the .cn and the New Star Gateway for the .cn to, you know, to be can be registered outside of China. There is already a gateway, you know, just a reverse, just working like the reverse of the current China Gateway. So that's without any problem, for has worked for many years. Next slide, please. So as of the marketing implications of the ASAP or ASDAP, first of all, the ASAP and ASDAP combination will introduce another 2 to 3 months delay because an ASDAP is with ICANN's reply to the XYZ registry. The ASDAP, if I recall correctly, is 45 calendar days. It requires that long. And then with the contract amendments, it would add another 2 months for this process. So as we all know, the already delays for the new the GTLD program to get into China, so which has already been significantly delayed. So the disadvantages that a major cross section of internet users, we know, as we all know, China is now have 5.5 billion internet users, so they cannot you know, access many of new GIS right now. So they are that. And the registrars and the registrants have been upset with this delay too. We often get the registrants ask complaints to the registrars and even us, why can't we register your new GTLD names? And why, after I registered, why can I use it, build websites? So that's the that will definitely threaten the renewal rates and the registrar business models. So if and you know after submitting the ASAP, if an ASDAP is required, it's not just delay. An ASDAP will cost a registry a lot of money, you know, six figures, you know, USD dollars money, and that's for one country, it's only for the first registry, of course. But consider there is might be not in China, but also Russia, Brazil, like many other countries. So there is a lot of money involved. Next slide, please. So our opinion is requiring an ASAP sets a bad precedent, and because other countries are likely to impose restrictive regulations also, you know, not in China, not only China. Well, I can require ASAP for doing business in each of several these countries, okay? I can should not delay the benefits of the new GTLD program to specific geographic regions by imposing its process and procedures between individual countries and those trying to, you know, to just want to comply with its laws. And ICANN would likely, you know, after it's either approving or not approving dozens of the announced proposals of each country, when there should be one general way of going about it. So, and ICANN's approval of the XYZ latest proposal in particular would interpreted as ICANN approving the censorship of the, you know, the second levels in China. That would cause extensive public discussion of the topic and damage the reputation of multi-stakeholder model. That we I don't think anyone would want to see that. Next slide, please. Okay. So that here is our, you know, our opinion, our suggested guidelines that it is the type of industry leadership that the ICANN model is intended to provide. It's not interfering with the detailed local, you know, issues. And gateway service access should be provided by existing DNS backend service provider only. And all other service providers should be within the ICANN construct as they are of now, like registry operators, registrars, resellers. Yeah, that doesn't have to be changed anymore. And all other contractual requirements remain in place, such as data escrow, data retention, and public interest in specification and RA requirements. That just don't have to change any. So basically, we are here, as I said, to provide talking points to the panel. So that's our.
Thank you, Raymond and Simon. I think very interesting topic. But before I kind of open for discussion, I think a very important part is you refer to ICANN a number of times. Of course, ICANN is a general term, and there are many facets of ICANN. Are we talking about ICANN, the corporation, ICANN, the community at large, ICANN, GNSO? So the main question is perhaps more constructive discussion at this point. Maybe do you have any suggestion on you see an issue, you want to advocate for a particular direction. What do you think, which part of ICANN should do, including should APAC space come, you know, like last time, come together and draft a letter that gets sent to who again? Is it sent to the GNS Council asking them to do something, or is it sent, you know? I think that might be a more constructive first part that we can kind of consider. I agree to some, you know, and many of the issues you raised. I think my question is, where do we, you know, how do we want to take it, or, you know, where do you want to take it as a first starting
point? Jen Chang from KNET. Also very quick response. I think this presentation, including some facts and some of your personal observation and personal opinion, that we did have a chat on some facts check, right? I don't necessarily agree with all the personal observation or.
Sorry, I think we are not here to, you know, to provide any, you know, the requires or something, but we're just you know, we're not sure where our opinion is right or wrong, but we are just for open discussion. So as of ICANN, I think we are referring to the, you know, to the ICANN is not the community organization, so they are in charge of this asset process.
So you're looking to create some action to send a letter or some sort of correspondence to ICANN, the corporation. That's at least your suggestion is that in terms of the action going forward. I know that because that's a very important clarification, so that whether this group has work to do or things to discuss, it depends a little bit on that. So allow me to go to him first and then...
Yeah, I think, Edmund, Simon Cousins, I think, Edmund, we're very interested in debate within the AP space community initially, because as we stated, we're not policy experts and we're merely attempting to frame the current set of issues which have been referred to us by a number of industries impacted. So we'd send the question, your very valid question, back out to space policy experts and seek your advice and your input.
My name is Liu Yu. I came from CSET. We are the think tank to the MIT China, and we also have a specialist team to do the preliminary review of the application materials of registry. And we will support the communication administration in province to do the preliminary review of the registrar application. So I think I want to. I was invited by Edmund and Teleinfo to give an introduction of Chinese DNS policy in Macau and Hai. Yeah, okay. Tonight ago. And first, I have three points to react. The first one is that I think that we have in China we have local laws about the DNS administration and the regulations. So since the China is a very large internet market and we have more than we have about 70. A million internet users, so it's need to the industry is not very strong, and so the government need to have set up regulations to protect the users' rights and to make a fair and open market for all the players in this market. So I think that, and we also have a need to have a security and a safety internet in China. So to this purpose, we have some regulations on the DNS service. You know that the DNS is very important to the development and the security of internet. So I want to reclaim that we have four key conditions of applying for become a domain name registry in China. You know that we have KNET, CNI, CONNECT, and some company of Lodiac in China. So the market is not closed. It's open to the registry outside China. Since Dodek is a company set up outside China, and they have their company, their authorized company in China, and applied and got the applied, and they first the company to get the new TLD license from MIT. So I don't think that we have a closed environment for the or the registry, and the government also have discussed with Legacy TLD, you know, New Star, Affiliates, VeriSign, and also have discussed with the new GTLD registry. So I think my team supported MIT to do some things. So I think we need to have more clear vision, and we need to understand the government's purpose to make the environment to more better for the users and for the companies. So I want to declare that we have the four key conditions. The first one is that need to a legal entity is established in China mainland, and the first is that the registry system should be set up in China including registration, whose resolution, and other necessary systems. So you know that since there we have KNET and the Teleinfo, they are the local company, and they also have this they meet these conditions. So for government, they need to have fair conditions for all the players. And the third, that the ability to of verification of real name information of domain names registration applicants to provide reserved name rules, maybe XYZ set. And the fourth, that to formulate network and information security safeguard and the illegal domain names disposal mechanism to meet the requirements. I want to explain these four conditions. The first one you need, we have business beings in China. So then the DNS is for local Chinese users and for local website. And we also have some regulations on website. They need to have to set up a website in China and should use the domain name registered in China registrar. And the second, that we need to have a system to have full functions. Full functions. So the MIT never asked the registry to have a gateway service. That's a business service, and maybe one of the possible solution, but not to my knowledge that there have no approved so-called gateway services. And the others for the real name, information check, is that to China, we need to have more accuracy. So I think this also implemented by CNIC for .cn and for none others. So to all the TLD registry, and for the reserved name, that. The government, we have a DNS regulation that to ask the all the registrants do not use illegal or not or bad domain names or for the bad website services. So that's so the reserved maybe and also prohibited domain names should obey these regulations. So I don't know why XYZ to apply and withdraw their their materials to ICANN. We also have discussed a constructive dialogue with GDD Acrom, and also with we also have communication with the ICANN AP Hub and the Beijing Engagement Center. We also, when we have new policies, send them to ICANN, and we want to have no misunderstanding the government's policy. So if you have any question, please ask me or maybe for our GAC representative and our director, general director of MIT in this ICANN meeting. Maybe you can find them to have more clear the answers to how to get the license, how to set up your services in China. And I want to add one point that. So the multi-stakeholder for China, we very respected the multi-stakeholder model, since the China is signed the Tunis agenda. So you can see what is said in that files. So I think that it's true Chinese to China government, we want to have a open and a fair and this environment for internet and to promote the internet development. So this is a club for the all players. We welcome every players to come to China, and I think But you know that every player should obey the laws in every country, not in China, but also in America, in Ireland, and in Singapore. Thank you.
You know, I think the last point is actually very important, that it's the applicable laws and regulations and procedures that registries are already obliged to submit to. Any follow-up? Please keep it very short. I understand. I'm sorry about it, but we have run out of time. Kurt?
Known for short. thank you very much for that excellent description of the requirements. And also, it's really encouraging to hear that you're collaborating with people at ICANN and other people in the community. And I think, and the point I want to make is, I think Raymond's presentation went, there's the four Chinese requirements, and there's a concern about a fifth requirement, and that is that everybody that wants to participate in China must also submit an RCEP to ICANN, which would be an additional requirement. And that all these RCEPs will be slightly different models for complying with Chinese regulation. And that will lead to delays and confusion in how the Chinese regulations are complied with. So I think Raymond's point is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the collaborations with ICANN and within the community should lead to a set of guidelines maybe for how to comply with Chinese law, but not require a case-by-case approval by ICANN of each business model's compliance with Chinese law. So the ICANN model is perfect for this because we can develop, either ICANN could develop a set, ICANN staff could develop a set of guidelines, or work with government to develop a set of guidelines, or tell all these people that want to participate in that great market, let's have a set of guidelines that we'll all comply with or adhere to, and that way we don't need, what will result in, at least dozens of our steps for China, and then, as Raymond said, our steps for any other country that creates.
Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. So we're running time. I see Pam's hand up, and that will be unfortunately a close queue. But I just want to follow up on Kurt. You, I understand that the DNA is convening, not under the DNA, but helping convene a mailing list to discuss specifically on this topic. So I guess I'd encourage Simon and others to join in. Do you want to add to that? How do we join that mailing list? Or because perhaps it seems like the reason why I bring this up, I asked the first question, what should this community do? It seems to me that maybe there's a lot more work that needs to be done, maybe in the community-wide discussion where the DNA is helping to convene. Maybe we can from there. And then once there are some products that come out, then this community can come together again and give some more legs to it. But it seems like we're still in that area. And Pam and...
Clarification, if I may, Edmund. I work very closely with DNA and DNA Board, I'm not aware of any DNA initiative to tackle the RCEP for Chinese back-end services. So I think APAC Space would be the appropriate mailing list for such discussion.
Yeah, sorry, this is Crystal Peterson from Newstar. The discussion was opened in the registry operational group, but it's not an actual DNA group, and so it's open to registrars and registries.
So that might be the first forum, and then we can come back to Pam. Last word on this.
Yeah, I just want to suggest maybe we can... write or APEC Space, write to ICANN seeking clarification why we would need an RCEP for these applications. I think that would be appropriate. To me personally, my read of the registry agreement, the base agreement for new GTOD, only says if a registry is going to offer additional services, that's not included in your registry agreement exhibit A, then you need to seek approval from ICANN. So if registry a registry is not providing additional registry services, it puzzles me why we would need an RCEP to start with. So that's, I think, one action item, right, to ICANN on behalf of Apex Space. We are an unincorporated association. I think we're allowed to write, like we made the public comment. The other thing is we need to be careful about the relationship between ICANN and individual registry operator, because their relationship is governed by the registry agreement. The registry agreement does say if you have material subcontracting of your registry service or of critical function of registry service, you need to get ICANN prior approval. And if you have change control of your equity ownership or other type of management control, you may trigger those change control provision. So therefore, they might have to inform ICANN or get ICANN prior consent. So there are two separate issues. One is the RCEP. The other is registry contract amendment, maybe, or notification.
Thank you. And I will wrap this session and move to the last topic. I think this is a very important issue. I think seems a little bit premature for this type of level to for the discussion, because there are still some technical and policy issues that needs to be covered. So I encourage you to go to that mailing. It's the registry operations, I think hosted by the DNA, but not the DNA. So it's registry operations, registry registrar operations. We'll take it offline and find it. So last topic really is on universal acceptance. I think this is something that should be very important for our region. And we've been giving some updates in the last time as well. The UASG, the Universal Acceptance Steering Group, has been working since the last couple of ICANN meetings. And this particular time, we had more than 50 people participate in the Sunday workshop, but 50 is still a very small number, and especially considering that not a lot come again. The participation from this region is not that many. So one of the main things is to get involved. But with that, I wanted to pass to Don to maybe talk us through a few of the things that are actually happening and we need help to work on. Don, we have 2 minutes. Yes. Next slide, probably.
Yes, please. Thank you. Next. So this is there's a little list of some of the things that we came. Goal for Sunday was to have specifics, who's going to do what and by when. So we have a clear vision as to where we're going, and that's to happen to get there. So I'll just highlight a couple. One of the things we want to develop is a CIO's guide. So if you're a corporate CIO for a bank or an internet registry or insurance company or a government department, and tells you that the internet has changed 5 years ago, and by the way, you're not keeping up, they're going to say, well, can you place that will help me guide my staffs? And at the moment, we don't have such a document that we're hoping to get finished by late January. We want to establish relationships with some other groups, MOG, ISOC, AA, the DNA, and others. So that's we have a number of asks to reach out to these sorts of organizations for various aspects, see how we can work together if they're interested. One of the things we want the registries and registrars to do as an internet industry to do with policy is develop their own CIO's guide to reviewing the registry and registry operational IT system. So in this industry, this internet industry, are there some specific topics that need to be looked at and do that? Perhaps as the registries and registrars go through their development, they can have a page on their website aimed at their direct customers, not the public, letting people know how they're doing to achieve this. And ICANN CIO has agreed to do the same thing for his project, which he started earlier this year, has another probably 12 to 15 months to go. And then we've also identified and agreed that linkification is in scope to the project, and linkification is where you type something that might be a domain name, either somehow that software figures out, oh, yes, that is a link to, or it's not. So trying to develop effectively a good practice. Happy to answer any questions.
And get a sense if somebody is trying to kick us out. Is there anyone that not, then allow me to run for a few more minutes. A couple of things. One is these are the identified projects that we will hope to get done, or at least the first version done by the next few months. So the experience from this community is very important to inform those documents. So please, if you're a registry or registrar, please join the mailing list. And in fact, on that, we have gotten your email address. So two things. One, I will, if you don't object, I will add you to the APAC Discuss mailing list. And number two, if you don't object now, I will add you to the UA mailing list as well. Who doesn't want to be on the UA mailing list? As ICANN staff, we will, since somebody has left the room, we will send an email to everyone and trying to get them to also consent to be on the UASG mailing list. I probably can take maybe one or two comments or questions, if there are.
Volunteers also is would be welcome.
It's now called like Voluntel, right? Voluntold. Those are told to volunteer.
Very short comments that we have a very good friend dialogue with Dan yesterday. And the CSET, our vice president, Mr. Zhang, suggested that we can have a Chinese domain group in under the UASG, and to Dan, Edmund, me, and Alan, we will contact to promote the Chinese community to for the UASG. And the general director of the ICT Bureau, Mr. Li, also give a very good words to our suggestion, and I think the MIT will take steps to do that thing, push the USG in China, UA. Yeah.
Thank you, Liu. That's great news from China and great news from Thailand, as we heard earlier, and I'm sure that we'll hear more progress. With that, I think from out of this meeting, one particular action item, Pam and Jan will take us a little bit further to create some actual suggestions and refine those suggestions along. I got Mary into that, but anyone else who wants to join that discussion. And if there are any final words that you want to add? If not, thank you, everyone, and this is it. And we will meet again in Marrakesh. So, thank you.
Yes, we will. Thank you.